biggest bad boy of podcasting is an entertainment-based wrestling program. The opinions shared are that of the host and their guest. Some celebrity voices are impersonated and usually not well. This program is not intended for kids and certain adults. Listener's discretion is advised. You have been warned. Now let's get ready to podcast.
You are recording, right?
I am recording.
Is this thing on?
Right. Hey.
Check 1, 2, 1, 2. You is do? This thing on?
Sometimes you gotta ask. What's going on, everybody? I'm your host, DJ Impact. And I got one fourth of the crew. No, three fourths. I was not good in math. Three fourths of the crew. Matt Michaels, what's up?
I just want to say that 1 + 1 + 1 = 5.
There you go. That sounds like my math. We have the same teacher. What's going on over there, King Lucky?
Hey, yo.
All right. And Simon Street's not able to be with us today, as he is, we like to say, on assignment. So every now and then you may miss a bad boy because we all have crazy lives, but we're all here, even in spirit. Nevertheless, it's been a interesting few weeks, but definitely weekend with so much going on. The pay-per-view, Fastlane. What do you guys think? I mean, you could choose any match. I mean, where do you see things going as we're headed to the road of WrestleMania?
Well, Lucky.
All right, so let's kick this first one off.
All right.
And, you know, this was, it was obvious, but it was a good obvious with The Miz and Shane and the world's greatest tag team,
the
right?
World's greatest, yeah.
This was pretty much teed up for us. I think we knew. We didn't know who was going to be the heel, who was going to be the face, right? Because
right.
Miz is just such an awesome heel.
Yep.
But it was very good to see Shane.
Mm-hmm.
Come out and be the heel.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed it.
I thought it was awesome. Something that's definitely different, because Shane's always the nice guy when he comes out and, hey, everybody, you know, we just, out of the whole McMahon family, we like Shane. But now, after watching Fastlane, we don't like Shane anymore. So it was perfect.
Are you sure?
Well, you tell me.
Have you seen The Miz's dad? I mean, you know, to me, Shane should get an award for pushing him into the second round.
Well,
at least he could have, like, you know, if they're going to do the match, what they need to do is put Miz's dad's hair on the line and take that fucking mullet away.
Yeah, they could have did that. I mean, it was either the way it ran, or another option I would have chose was to just have Miz's father turn his back on him because he lost the match. I thought that would have been a good play as well. Of course, that wouldn't have, I guess, done anything. Maybe piss off Miz. I guess in that case, he would have had to maybe go heel and not become such a baby face as they're going for. But either way, I like how it turned out.
Me and Shane versus The Miz and his dad.
You like that match. I know you do.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even though I think Vince is a little too old for that match now. He sure will get out there and try it.
Vince is too old. Fucking Miz's dad.
Oh, Miz's
come
dad.
On.
Right.
He'll get potatoed and that's it.
And yeah. you just said, you know, you like that match. You're the fucker who hated Nicholas. You want to see Miz's dad in
right.
a match at WrestleMania?
Yeah,
come
that's
on.
That's a no.
Right.
Come on.
That's a negative.
Shout out to Nicholas.
Love you, Nicholas.
Shout down to Nicholas.
Some of us are fans eaters.
Right,
the
exactly.
The worst move. I didn't pay my money to watch however old he is win the tag team championships.
You see, this he's still heated for WrestleMania.
Because Braun Strowman didn't pick him to be his partner.
Yeah, pretty much.
That was it. Why did he pick a
that's
kid?
Right. That's right.
He could have picked me. I'm Lucky.
And you know, the crazy thing was, this is the crazy part. Lucky and Simon Street were really upset.
Sideways.
Like, I mean, they were like, I wasn't even their friends anymore. We were walking back to the hotel and they were just angry. Like they wanted a return on their ticket price. I'm like, dudes, guys, come on. It's one out of all the great matches we saw. Stop tripping. Yeah. You know, but well, I don't know. Whatever.
Watching Raw this week, yeah. I already saw where they're going with Braun. And God, that's going to be a bathroom break for me.
Well, maybe that's his new gimmick. You know, that's what they did with Big Show all the time. Yeah. He would just be the gimmick
big
guy.
Big Neanderthal.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, so, that, yeah.
Hey.
And have we seen Big Show versus Braun?
Yes.
Do we?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah.
All right. Then that happened.
Wasn't that memorable?
Yeah.
Must not have been.
Wasn't that memorable? So elsewhere on the card, we got to talk about Kofi. You know, the rise of Kofi has been huge.
Mm-hmm.
But then we saw the New Day go into Vince's office.
Right.
And kind of, you know, take it to Vince a little bit. Hey, what's going on?
Yeah, I thought they was going to get Future Endeavor after doing that. But
you think that Vince has ever had three black men in an office at the same time like that? I think there's a first for everything.
Right, right, right. I don't know. Vince, he didn't seem too scared, though. I mean, he seemed like he
I believed... still signed the checks, right. Damn it.
Yeah, exactly. He kept telling himself that. But I like what they're going. So I don't read much of the blogs and the rumors. I know they talk about what matches are going to be a year out. I could tell you what wasn't probably on that list, and that was for Kofi to be in a championship match at Mania. Would I be right on that?
No, without question. I mean, you have your kind of like outlines of what you want to do for Mania.
Right.
And Kofi and Becky weren't part of those plans.
Yeah. So that's amazing.
It's huge. Yeah, it is huge.
Yeah, and, you know, it's still interesting to me that every time Vince is backstage and he sees R-Truth, he calls him Kofi. So,
is that a true story?
Rumor and innuendo, okay. Right? Don't sue me, Vince. Yeah, come on, I ain't got fucking money.
Because I can actually see that. That's why I'm like, maybe you read that.
They are almost painting this into a corner where you have to put the belt on Kofi.
You would think, right?
You would think so.
I say no fucking way.
Wow.
Nope.
Well.
Nope. Because you know what? I was at WrestleMania 2000.
Mm-hmm.
And I was there too. Everyone, right? The Rock. Oh, The Rock had such a buzz. Triple H retains the belt. Mm-hmm. I mean, people left that stadium pissed.
Right.
Pissed. I was at WrestleMania the next year, WrestleMania 17 in Houston, right?
Yeah, I was there too.
Right?
Yeah.
All right, The Rock going against Austin. Mm-hmm. And everyone's cheering. And then McMahon comes down, Austin, mm-hmm. You know, they do the flip. And people, I saw grown fucking men crying that The Rock lost. So Vince likes to do this. And I say, you know, sometimes you got to go against what the audience is saying.
But I will say mm-hmm. that I think even if they don't do it, it would be important for you. Maybe you don't do it at Mania, but you do it at a pay-per-view after Mania.
But he's so hot right now. Why not take this opportunity?
Well, because you have so many other championships that may switch hands at Mania. So instead, give him his own shine at a pay-per-view opposite of that show.
Hmm.
Well, you know, the other thing too, though, is that like he's catching fire and blah, blah, blah. Yeah. Well, that, I guess, started when people took two sticks together and for 11 years were rubbing those sticks. Then right. All of a sudden, 3 weeks ago, someone found a fucking match and decided, oh, yeah, Kofi, we love him. Come on.
Right. Well, I don't know. I think he should still have his moment. But I can actually see Vince. I can see Vince just saying, nah, I'm not going to give it to him. And we walk out pissed on that, you know.
Yeah.
A missed moment, but I can actually see that happening.
We'll see. So also, this past week from TV, you had Samoa Joe.
I'm happy. Finally.
Mm. Finally.
Finally.
That's right.
Finally break through on the main roster.
Man.
And get his singles champion.
Now, it would be nice if they actually give him a long run. I don't have a problem with that, having a long run. Or if you're going to take it off, at least give him a run for another title.
The only thing that worries me.
Of course, he has to miss shows, switch shows. But
only thing that worries me is that he faces R-Truth tomorrow on SmackDown. This is what's being advertised, so I'm wondering, he's going to face R-Truth again?
You mean Kofi Kingston? I thought I put him in the heavyweight championship match.
I just worry if they're going to pull something else. You know, I do want to see the rumor,
okay,
which is John Cena come back, and I'd love to see him face Samoa Joe at Mania. I'd love to see that.
Well, I wouldn't mind seeing it, but I would say Cena lose.
Mm.
Yeah.
You think so?
If he was to come back, Cena lose.
So Cena lost last year to Taker, right?
That's his job now.
Ooh, he's just a jobber.
That's his job now.
Yeah, well, the thing is like, if he comes in, I mean, do you really have to have him win? He doesn't need the belt. Right. He knows that. There's no ego there.
Yeah.
Plus, it's the U.S. fucking title, so it's
Thank
not like, you,
you
know, yeah, whatever. That doesn't do any rub for him. And Joe and John go back to our days in UPW. So
yeah,
they have a long enough history where John would have no problem putting him over.
And yeah,
John would, you know, probably be doing it as a respect favor.
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
Straight up.
Also on Fastlane last night, we saw, after the women's tag team belts, we saw Beth Phoenix get a little physical. Is that a return?
I guess so. I mean, she looks great.
She does.
You know, and I'm pretty sure she can get back in the ring and probably seem like she never even lost it. I don't know. She's
still got a lot of edge inside of her.
Hello.
That is true.
Now I know what they mean by edgehead.
There it is.
Yeah, but it was. I was surprised to see that they ran that that angle. But why not?
Yeah, maybe you saw her and Natty get down last night. Maybe they challenged for the belts.
Yeah.
At Mania, or the other rumored legend tag team, Lita and Trish. You pass on that one, huh?
Yeah, I pass on that.
Oh, well.
I mean, I love them, but for what we have, the women today, I wouldn't give it to them.
Yeah, you're already stuck in the card too. You got Batista versus Triple H.
Yeah.
You know, and you already know you got the triple threat for the, you know, what I'm assuming is the main event. We'll see them fuck that up too.
Yeah. Well, right. So then last night we did see, you know, a couple of things. One is last week, before we get into last night, last week we saw Ronda go full-fledged heel. What do you guys think?
Well, first off, if you remember, right after Rumble, we had this discussion, and I was telling you all, I don't understand why she just don't switch or just flip, because this whole nice girl thing wasn't working. She could barely seem like she can get out the lines that she was, told to say. And it wasn't believable. The fans wasn't buying it. They were booing her. At that point, I don't see why she just didn't flip. Now, I understand that there is a story you have to stick with, but she could have semi-flipped a little bit. Maybe not go hardcore heel, but it was a disaster. But now she's making it up, though. And this is what she's good at.
But the only issue I have, I think the only reason why the fans turned on her is because of who she's been put up against with Becky. If she would have been put up against, you know, Charlotte or another heel, then I think the crowd reaction still would have been of face proportions. Now it's just totally...
Yeah, but your friends, the Smarks...
Hey, Smarks.
Who live down in Smark Village.
Smarkville.
That's right, with Papa Smark,
right,
and Smarkette.
Right.
You know, the whole thing is that their whole thing has been, you know, again, Ronda was presented in a marketable package. So therefore, we don't fucking like her.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're pushing this on us. So, yeah, have her go heel. Because if you have her go heel now... I mean, the thing is that she's not going to get the same heat anyway, because she's already has the heat. So have her go heel. It's fine. It will be workable. Rhonda can then take off if she's going to, you know, have a family.
Yeah.
Go do the family now. It's a good time. And then you have an instant built return where you screw her at the pay-per-view.
Mm-hmm.
If you screw her at Mania and then she disappears, when she comes back, now she has a reason.
Right.
Yeah. So last night's show ended with Rhonda coming down and basically inserting herself in the match.
Right.
And now allowing for Becky to be in. And so now we have our triple threat match.
Right.
So the question I want to pose, who wins?
Becky.
You would assume Becky. If you're closing the show. If you have...
Right.
If they do it right and you close the show with Becky winning, then that's... then
fans go home happy.
Fans will go home happy. And also... you know, the problem is if you put the match on earlier, so let's say they have either Seth, Brock, or Kofi Daniel go on as the final match. If that match then does not have the same conclusion of Kofi going over or Seth going over,
right?
It's going to kill, you know, that's going to be killed. And on top of it, if you have Becky go over and then have that match after it,
who cares?
And yeah, and if Kofi doesn't win, especially, it's a New York audience, they'll be shit thrown at the ring.
Yeah,
yep. Right.
Yeah, I agree. Daryl, who you got?
Well, I just said
think Becky?
Yeah, I say Becky. I mean, Matt just put it in a way that I have to agree totally with that, and. But I mean, you just never know how it's going to end up turning out. I mean, I guess it really just depends on the position of what part of the card that they're on. If they're not the last one, then I guess I'll take Becky back and go, no, I guess here comes Charlotte, you know?
I think there's no other way that you can close the show than with the triple threat match. There's no other way. That's been the plan for a year now. I don't think that you can deviate from that.
Or in this case, Diva-ate.
Diva-ate. Yeah, I don't think there's a way you can now change course. So I think they close the show and give the fans what they want, which is Becky winning. And like you said, maybe Rhonda gets screwed. Maybe they plant some seeds for the horsewoman stuff. Cause that hasn't happened yet.
We've been saying that forever, and it seems like it's just... slowly happening to never happening.
Yeah, right now that's as old as the horsemen themselves.
Right.
So, whatever.
Hall of Fame came out today. Harlem Heat going to get inducted.
So that means Booker's now going to be in twice. And
yes.
Does that mean that Sherry is going in twice?
No.
See, I personally go with Sister Sherry on that. I don't think they will, because obviously being deceased, they probably won't, you know, do that, recognize her. But, you know, to me, it's like, at least mention her, and if they ever have a physical Hall of Fame, then, you know, include her in that portion. But it's by time Stevie Ray got his recognition, right?
Slapjack.
Yeah. Oh, man. Because, you know, Stevie Ray, remember that feud he had with the, I was thinking about that time he wrestled the.
Yeah, you got nothing.
Yeah. I mean, I like them as a tag team. They were great. But at the same time, you have to go, really? Harlem Heat? Okay, I thought we already acknowledged that Booker was part of Harlem Heat. And, you know, this for once, I will say that Stevie Ray, to me, doesn't cut the mustard.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's already a strong cast. I think they just threw a little cherry on top there. You got Honky Tonk going in. Tori Wilson. A lot of people were miffed about that one.
I don't know how you could be miffed about anything with Tori Wilson. Holy shit.
And then, of course, you know, it's headlined by D-Generation X. So,
right.
It's a very strong class for...
So, okay. Then you've got this class. You have a convicted felon.
Oh boy.
And a porn star. So Family Entertainment.
Hey ho, how you doing?
Are you ready?
Right.
I said, are you ready?
Let's get ready to suck it.
Yeah, but
well, I'm gonna start transition. Did you have one more thing you wanted to go over?
You've been waiting to transition for about 5 years now. Oh, did it finally go
it
through?
It finally went through, man, and I'm now DJ Impact Ella. Yeah. Anyways.
King Kong Bundy.
Oh.
Yeah. Sad, pretty sad news this week. We lost King Kong Bundy.
Yeah.
You know, he was a good talent. I don't know when they'll place him in the Hall of Fame, but I think for sure he's going in.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's, you know, that's the interesting thing is we go, for sure he's going in. And but here's a guy that for all, I mean, I don't think I've ever heard one single rumor about him going in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the interesting thing is you had in 2005, 2004, 2005, 2006, you had people from that generation really going in. You had Orndorff and Orton and... You know, that's when Hogan went in and Piper went in, and you had all these people, Volkov, Sheik, all going in from that time frame, and yet Bundy was nowhere to be found. So, you know, I've always questioned the actual value that they place on Bundy in their own history.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he was one of the greatest heel monsters.
Yes.
But if you do take a realistic look at it, he didn't have a very long run as a WWE superstar. And in wrestling in general, he didn't have that much of a long run. However, with that being said, he had such an impact,
right,
as, you know, creating this monster,
yeah,
type heel. You know, but at the same time, you look at Vader.
You right.
know, it's
yeah.
like...
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's frustrating sometimes.
Yeah. It is.
Because obviously they can't put in just, you know, guys who are, you know, 20 years past their prime.
Right.
Because of the fact that you have this new generation of fans that are now in their 20s. So you want to give them people like DX that they saw when they were, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8 years old when they were going around going, suck it, suck it. You know?
Right.
So, you know, it's a very interesting conundrum that they're kind of in because they do have to, you know, remember the past. The thing that always gets overlooked is what they started doing where they're putting in people like Haystacks Calhoun, they put in 2 years ago, under that just banner of, well, these are people we're not going to present on stage, but we're just going to put all these people in.
Yeah.
Which right. is a great idea, but get a physical fucking Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I agree. There should be a physical Hall of Fame, and it should probably be in Florida somewhere.
It should be connected to the Performance Center.
Yeah.
Buy up space.
The usual news last week is WrestleMania going to Tampa.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
That's true.
It's pretty awesome. So I think, you know, former site of FCW. Ooh.
Yeah.
A lot of talent came out of that that area. So it's going to be exciting.
It will be. We have a special guest that we're going to get on the phone in just a second. Jeff Cobb, the ROH television champion, will be on. Nevertheless, ROH big pay-per-view this weekend in Las Vegas.
17 year anniversary show.
That's right. At Sam's Town, it's going to be pretty big. 8 big matches.
How big is it?
Pretty big. And so we're just going to run down to some of the matches that we're going to see. that should be pretty exciting. I've really been enjoying, of course, you can give me hell if you want, the Jay Lethal versus Matt Taven match.
He is such a mark for Jay Lethal.
Whatever. Matt Taven has been, for some reason, thinking that he is the real ROH champion, walking around with a belt and, well, not much of a belt anymore because Jay Lethal went ahead and took a axe to the fake belt. And so now it's kind of a janky, broken down belt because, of course, Jay Lethal is still the ROH champion. So it's going to be a great match. Looking forward to seeing that. Las Vegas' own Kenny King. Okay. Yeah. Will be there going against Marty Scurll.
Villain.
That's going to be a really good match, too.
That will be. That's going to be an awesome match.
Yeah. Wow. Who's trying to get my attention?
I think it's the sound guy.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah, that's going to be an awesome match.
Marty Scurll can do no wrong.
Dude.
The villain is just amazing.
And you know where he's going next.
Oh, cripe. Go ahead. Tell us where he's going next.
Yeah, where is he
AEW.
Boing.
All right. AEW it is. We'll see. Jeff Cobb versus Shane Taylor.
Whoa.
It's going to tear the house down, dude.
I believe so. It's possibly going to be match of the night. Now, some might say I'm crazy because we do have Bandido versus Rush on the card. Rush. Okay. But
you know what that means.
What's that?
It's Rush off day.
Well, you know, maybe you should just go ahead and brand that onto a shirt. How about that? I mean, it's a copy, but why not? Yeah. We got Lifeblood. They're going to be going against the Kingdom.
Oh, the Kingdom.
Yeah. I'm going to be pulling for Lifeblood. And it's been really good TV watching them weekly. I mean, Lifeblood got like six members, including Tenille. Yes.
Hello. Yep.
Hello. Jonathan Gresham versus Silas Young. He's the last real man.
Wow, yeah. Josh Grissom?
Jonathan Gresham.
Oh. Silas Young is one hell of a tough motherfucker. If you've not seen him live, go see this pay-per-view because I'll tell you right now, I mean, outside of the talent and stuff, Silas is just, he's just a great worker.
I mean, he just, it definitely seemed like he's looking like he's getting older and constantly aging, but still in the ring, it's
he looks like he's older and constantly aging.
Yeah.
Well, Daryl, see, the way things work is when you're born, you get older, and then you constantly age, and you look a little older because you're constantly aging there, buddy.
And in what point do you say, okay, I'm done?
You know what?
Because he looks like he's at that point.
It's addictive. It's hard to stop, man.
Yeah.
I'll you know, just asking Tommy Dreamer a couple of weeks ago at Impact.
That's true, too.
And I literally said, Tommy, you're only a few years older than me. When are you going to stop?
Right.
He said, whenever my body says I can't do it anymore.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Wrestling is an addiction. You know it because we spend money all the time.
That's true.
On wrestling. And in 3 weeks' time, we're going to the granddaddy of them all, WrestleMania.
Oh, I thought you was going to say ROH. The granddaddy. Last match is going to be for the Women's of Honor World Championship. Let me see if I get this right. Mayu Iwatani, did I say it right?
It's
pretty
as
close.
It's as close as
Thank you.
Gonna get. Yeah.
Whatever.
Or as
whatever.
Lucky. What would you call her?
Asuka's grandma. Nobody is ready for Asuka's grandma.
Well, she's going to get Kelly Klein. And again, that's for the...
And
the
Kelly woman. Kelly Klein is one of the most talented women wrestlers. I mean, her character is really solid, and she can work. It's going to... That match is going to be probably one of the top matches on the card, to be honest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, again, you can see it live if you're not in Vegas just by logging on to the Ring of Honor website, and you can watch it on their pay-per-view site that they have set up on there. And
join it, join Honor Club.
Honor Club, yep, exactly.
That's one way to do it. You'll get the opportunity to get tickets to events before they go on sale to the public.
Right.
You also can go to the Samstown box office.
Right.
Get tickets. Go online. Get tickets now. The pay-per-view, I believe, is like very close to sold out.
Right.
If it hasn't been sold out yet, but always check, because they're, you know, comes tickets available last minute. 6 o'clock bell time, I believe, or at least the doors open at 6.
Correct.
And then on the 16th of March, this Saturday, you're going to get the TV tapings.
Yes.
Which, I'll tell you again, Ring of Honor, they do one hell of a job in getting their shows taped, produced. It's an exciting experience. The crowd is very fanatical. And you can definitely, you know, go to the box office, get some tickets. And if you haven't seen it, this is the best time to go, because it's your first time seeing it. If you're in Vegas, it is like one of the best things to do on a Saturday night is go to Sam's Town and see some wrestling tapings.
This pay-per-view is the 17th anniversary. And it's amazing, because that's a long time to be an organization running that long and able to survive against other promotions and even bigger promotions. And we see just how valuable they are, because we've seen many people come from ROH and move to other promotions and become very large stars. And then the folks that's actually on ROH are large stars themselves, just like we name Jay Lethal and the Briscoes. And I mean, you could just keep going on and on. And there's even been many people that have come down from the top of the promotions that come back to ROH, because it's just great to work, or I should say, be a part of that organization. Great TV, great storylines, and it's definitely something to be a part of. So if you're in the Vegas area, definitely come and check it out. We, your Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting, will be there, and we will talk about it at some point to get you all hyped up about it. So until then, what do you guys got? Anything else you guys got to say? Nothing? Okay, I guess everybody good. Oh, wait. Okay, Cobb is on the phone? Okay, let's do it now. We have a special guest on our phone, and we have the ROH television champion, Jeff Cobb.
Yeah.
How you doing, man?
I'm doing good, man. Thanks for the great intro and the big round of applause, man. Thanks, guys.
Oh, that's right. And we were doing that with our own hands, man. No sound effects on that one.
Yeah. You got honest applause, not studio applause, so that's a good thing.
Oh, that works then.
Much respect for everything that you do, man.
Oh, I appreciate that.
Yeah.
I try hard.
Oh, yeah. Hey, so I'm going to jump right in it, man. I'm just going to ask you straight up. If you were to meet Yoel Romero again, who wins that match?
Yoel Romero.
Yeah?
I've seen him knock out dudes, so that's definitely... that's definitely going to be in the back of my mind. So I'm going to go with go with the Vegas odds and put money on your old man.
I thought you were going to say you could suplex him out of his seat. You know,
I've seen him in the cage, man. That's he's only gotten bigger, which is weird because he was way bigger than me back then. So
yeah, right, yeah, he's huge.
Does something like that stick in your craw? Or is it easy to after a while, let go of it? Because I know when I used to wrestle competitively, like, if I lost, you know, it would stick with me. And I would hope that I would see that guy again down the line at some point. But obviously, you were also on a bigger stage, man.
Well, I mean, I think, any loss sucks, but. Like it, his level and his caliber, it's not something to be ashamed of rooting to him. So I'm totally fine with that. I've made peace with my loss.
So let's kind of just really cover the match coming up here in Vegas. Now, you are a local resident of Las Vegas, so I encourage fans to come out again to Ring of Honor this Saturday the 15th and Sunday the 16th, or Friday the 15th and Saturday the 16th. Easy for me to say. On the pay-per-view, the 17th anniversary, you've got Shane Taylor.
Mm-hmm.
You guys are going to tear the house down, right?
We're definitely going to try. I know... Shane's been going around on Twitter and social media about like how he's overlooked and all that, and then calling me like the chosen one or whatever. I'm not Jeff Jarrett, I'm Jeff Cobb. Everything that I've ever accomplished, I've earned and worked for. I've never gotten anything handed to me. Anytime I've ever been given a shot or an opportunity, I've like to think I've kicked the door in and then some. So he's got a chip on his shoulder, so and that's good, you know. It makes you work even harder, be hungrier,
right?
Mm-hmm. And we've tangled before and I came out on top, and he's been crying and complaining on the Twitterverse for another rematch. And I'm like, well, you know, like I don't just give out rematches. I'm not the booking committee, so,
right?
You know, tagging me in Twitter posts—that's probably the wrong move. You're just gonna end up getting blocked from me, or muted.
And you know, the nice thing is that I think that it's very obvious that Shane has definitely come a long way. I think the last 6 months or so, he's really kind of excelled. You're starting to see things out of him that the potential has always been there, but I think he's really worked himself into being, you know, more of the character, more athletic. You know, he's looking really good. In this type of situation, would it be something that you look at as, you know, you can put your talents forward, because I know you can make a guy look amazing, you know, you could probably wrestle a chair or a broom, as they say, and you know, make the broom look good. When you have someone who is starting to excel and kind of meeting their expectations, and you have someone like yourself, does that come together to make that special moment where you can look back and go, yeah, that was a damn good match?
I think so. You know, especially like for me, I don't like to toot my own horn or whatnot. So I would just tell people, hey, listen, I'm going to do the things that I can do great. And for him, Shane, you know, he, like you said, he does have something to prove. And I think, you know, this is a great opportunity for him to step his game up and be considered an impact. I mean, he is an impact player, but like, you know, like some people may not see him like that, but you know, it's his chance. Like he's getting a spotlight on our 17th anniversary show.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He's getting a singles match, and not just a singles match, a title match. So
right.
A title opportunity. So it's the ball's in his court right now. If he wants to step his game up and try to beat me, to be fair, I'm not looking past him whatsoever. And, you know, he's a tough son of a gun. But, you know, the winner of this is probably going to go on to the Garden Show and hopefully defend the TV belt there.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm not looking past him, but for that opportunity, he's going to have to kill me for.
I hear that.
Well, yeah, and that's what we kind of collectively were then leading towards is what would that mean to you, being able to wrestle in the Garden and just get that opportunity to be a part of the history?
It's going to be an awesome, like, it means a lot to me just for the fact that, you know, like, if you're a wrestler, you know, Madison Square Garden, I think, is when people say, like, what is the most hallowed venue for pro wrestling? I think Madison Square Garden is probably going to be, like, the general consensus with wrestlers. Mm-hmm. Or if, I mean, hopefully wrestlers that know what they're talking about. But, you know, like the Garden is the mecca of pro wrestling.
Right.
And I think just being able to wrestle in the Garden, that's just like, forever it's been dominated and held captive by WWE, and now Ring of Honor and New Japan are getting an opportunity to wrestle in on that sacred land. So it's going to be great. Like, I think everybody that's going to be there is definitely going to bring their A game and, you know, just show everybody that, hey, not just WWE can run here, you know, other guys can run here.
Yeah. With all the years in the business, I mean, you've been all over the world. If you had to pick, what was your, you know, the match of your career that you've had so far, who would it be against?
I don't know. I don't really give that too much thought. I've had a lot of great matches so far. So I really can't answer that just for the fact that, like, you know, different situations are different things, you know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, granted, like, it was a random, it was a gauntlet match at the Tokyo Dome, but just to be able to wrestle at Wrestle Kingdom in the Tokyo Dome,
right?
You know, in my debut, you know, that's definitely going to rank up there. But, like, match wise, was it my favorite? I mean, I had a blast, but, you know, I prefer singles.
Right.
But then again, you know, like, you know, I had some great tag matches with my former tag partner Matt Riddle in Reseda.
Yeah.
With the Young Bucks and guys like that, and Red Dragon. So, I mean, you know, I think it just depends on the situation.
And that Reseda venue, you know, it just has that that flavor of, like, just that gritty, dirty, you know. So it's cool that, you know, you can look at an experience like that and cherish it as much as you would, you know, something that's bigger. Because, you know, those are the days you'll always remember, is the struggling days of just trying to make it.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, it's just like, you know, people always say, like, yeah, the receipt of American Legion Post was like a shithole, but
it was
PWG, it was our shithole, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
Like, there's like a who's who that's been crammed up in that back dressing room.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, like, guys like Kevin Owens, Daniel Bryan, Sami Zayn, like, all these guys have been squished back there.
Yeah.
Dying of heat stroke.
Yeah.
So, this is definitely, that building is something special as well.
Yeah. Yeah, man, I got to ask you, you know, growing up, what were some of your biggest inspirations that you had that made you want to break in?
I mean, I know it's kind of cliche to say, but I mean, it's definitely Hulk Hogan is what brought me into wrestling.
Yeah.
When you look at him, he looks like a comic book character, you know, like he's huge and he's blonde and he's jacked and just
larger than life. Yeah.
Yellow, like, who wears yellow and red? Like, what what man is supposed to wear yellow and red? But he's over here beating these giant monsters and all that. And that definitely just brought me into pro wrestling.
And you grew up on the islands. What What was your, I totally blank on where you grew up in Hawaii.
Yeah, I grew up, born and raised in Hawaii.
Which island?
Oahu.
Oahu. And, so you don't surf, right?
No.
So
contrary to popular belief, not everybody from Hawaii.
So then what was it that, you know, you would do as a kid in terms of like activities? Were you heavy on, you know, studying, learning? Were you, you know, active playing sports? Was there something that you particularly liked to do? And, you know, how did it end up translating that then you started getting into, you know, Greco-Roman wrestling?
Well, I guess growing up, well, I'm kind of dating myself, but we didn't have cell phones when I was a kid. So you go outside and you play and you get your bikes and you make makeshift ramps and like tag or whatever. Mm-hmm. I had a lot of like action figures, like wrestling guys. And it was weird because I felt like looking back, I was like, man, I was like a young Vince McMahon because I was making wrestling cards. I was cross promoting like the little Hasbro wrestling guys with the Ninja Turtle line and all these guys. And it was crazy, man.
And like, now you got your own figure.
Now I got my own figure, but I mean, I definitely ran my own promotion, like more so at night when it was dark, when the playing outside ended and dinner was eaten and showers and all that. And it was just straight wrestling time, action figures and just playing and stuff. So, that more so that stuff. And, I guess video games I played a lot of video games as well, like Nintendo. My older brother had an Atari. So it was definitely video games and wrestling and cartoons and more wrestling, I guess.
And so then when you started training and you're developing as, you know, a mat wrestler, how does the crossover happen to end up then on Guam's team? You ended up in Guam, right?
Yeah. So I've told it to a few, like maybe one or two podcasts, but like we kind of like fell on financial hardships. My mom's side is from Guam, so
okay.
My grandmother kind of was like, hey, like pretty much gave us like a helping hand. So hey, I'll open my house to you guys if you guys want to come here and try to change everything. So we ended up moving to Guam, and it's like halfway through my fifth grade year.
Okay,
and then it's been on Guam since until I left for college.
And what was the experience like? I mean, I really don't know much about, you know, is Guam, you know, is it like being in Hawaii or was it
it's an island. It's smaller than Hawaii. So, I mean, it's pretty much, I think it was pretty much the same. Island, beach life, beach style.
Right.
Like it's just an island, like island mentality. It's the same pretty much.
So then having to do that move when you were, you know, right around fifth grade, were you able to transition pretty smoothly into like new friends and in that environment? And did doing something like that at that age then prepare you for, you know, the future where, you know, you always meet new people and have to adapt as you're going from place to place? Is that something that kind of, you know, influenced and kind of made you, or was it hard to adapt?
I think it's easier as an adult just because you've learned those, I guess, just the basic communication skills and whatnot, like just interaction with new people. But I mean, it was tough as a kid, just, you know, I mean, I had really close friends from elementary school that since kindergarten through halfway to fifth grade, I was like, man, like I was around these guys for like, you know, 8-9 months out of the year.
Right.
Sometimes longer because I had a couple of them living near my house. So,
oh, really?
I mean, it was definitely tough.
Yeah.
As a kid, but I guess it kind of connects with, like, you know, doing the same thing in, as an adult, but it was definitely tougher as a kid.
I want to ask you, Jeff, on the island, was there a lot of wrestling promotions that came out there and put on shows that you attended and you went to them and motivated you to want to do that?
No, it was only WWF at the time that came to Hawaii. Mm-hmm. They would come like maybe one to three times a year, give or take.
Okay.
And it was always a huge thing for me to be able to, like, just go to those, you know.
Yeah, and do people on the island really want to be a part of the show? Is it pretty like a sold out event, or is it something that people really don't really care about seeing?
I remember as a kid, it was always sold out.
Okay,
and then after college, when I moved back to Hawaii, I kind of, like, WWE would come maybe once a year,
mm-hmm.
and I mean, it'd be a nice crowd, but I don't think it's sold out as I got older. But I mean, pretty darn near close to sold out. Just, I mean, the super upper levels were still open, I guess. But I mean, it's still a good show. I think, you know, a lot of people showed up.
Sure, but
I made sure to go.
But when you were attending these shows, was it during that point that you said, you know, this is something I want to be a part of? Not necessarily in WWF, but I know I want to be in terms of wrestling and maybe make it to WWF or some other wrestling promotion that may be out there. Was it the shows that got you motivated to that, or something else?
I mean, I think it was definitely, I mean, the TV shows first and foremost was the one that got me. As a kid, I was always wanted to just be a wrestler.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, just watching the TV shows and then going to the live events a couple times a year, and then, you know, those, I mean, as a kid I already knew that I was dead set, I definitely want to be a pro wrestler.
And
let me ask you this: if you could face anybody from yesteryear from WWF, who would it be?
Oh man, from yesteryear, probably Mr. Perfect.
Oh dude. Nice. Yeah. He was always one of my favorites too.
Yeah, he was definitely one of mine, and he was badass. Enough said.
Yeah.
So, do you like the aspect of the heel heat as opposed to the, you know, the baby face pop? I mean, what really, you know, when you're in the middle of the ring, do you like that? You know, having liked a guy like Perfect. You know, I'm assuming, you know, growing up, you kind of tended towards liking a little bit of heels because they were cooler. Because I think that's what we all did.
Yeah.
Is there something about being a heel that is, you know, attractive in terms of getting the audience going? Or is the baby face something that you've kind of, you know, perfected?
I guess for me, like when I was growing up, I didn't really care because I liked everything. I was just, you know, I booed the shit out of the bad guys and cheered Hulk Hogan until he, you know, hit the big boot and the leg drop. So, I mean, I don't know. I didn't, like, just everything. Like, not one real thing was like, oh my god, like it's got to be the heels. It's got to be, like, no. It was just everything in general, just the whole package.
Yeah. And did you, as a Hulkamaniac back then, were you one of the ones who rode in and cried when Earthquake squashed Hogan?
No, I didn't ride in and cry. I just cried as a kid in front of my TV screen.
So I think you, recently we kind of talked about this, you found out you did one of those DNA tests.
Oh yeah, I did a 23andMe. That's like a cheap plug. So if they're listening.
And so, what got you to do the 23andMe, and what did you find out?
Well, it was the New Japan World Tag League that just happened in 2018. I was there, and just like a bunch of the guys that I hang out with outside of the ring, and just, you know, we'll go to eat dinner, go to the gym or whatever, watch movies or whatever like that. They were all talking about it, and I was like, wait, what? Because we have like a little group text, but I just kind of ignored the 23andMe stuff. I was like, well, whatever. And then like just being around them 24/7 in Japan for 26 days, like that's all I could hear them talking about. And then, you know, just seeing some of their breakdowns, I was like, holy crap, you're this. So, right. You know what? Screw it. I think it was like maybe the second to the last show that we did in Japan. I ordered one, and when I came back from the tour, it came like a day later, the day after. So I was like, oh, this is awesome. And I wanted to make sure that I got my results before the Tokyo Dome show, so I could be like, hey guys, I did it. And this is my results.
And what did the boys say when you actually came back with the results? Were they as enthusiastic, or at that point, were they kind of like, yeah?
Okay, no, they were cool. Like they wanted to know what I was, but I kind of knew what I was already, just based off. So like, it wasn't like anything like ridiculously different. I guess like the only thing that kind of tripped me out was like, I was like, well, I'm 5% Korean, and
that's amazing.
Yeah. 0.1% Congolese. So
that was the best. I mean, that's amazing. Like, and I mean, for anyone listening, where is that even?
The Congo?
Yeah. So, because you know that a lot of people don't know.
Africa.
Yeah. So, that's amazing. And it's like, I mean, you know, you got some heritage here with Daryl and Lucky too.
That's true.
Cobb, I want to ask,
that thing tripped me out because like based off of that, we found out that Juice Robinson is more Irish than David Finlay.
Wow.
And that's Finlay's kid.
Wow.
He beat him by like 6% or something like that. So I was like, wait a minute, like that kind of threw me off for a minute. So.
Kyle, I want to ask you, man, you know, I know Las Vegas is like the ninth island, brother, and I'm a foodie, man. Where's the best Hawaiian food out here?
Oh man. Shoot, well, there's a spot near my house that I've gone to at least in this past year, at least a few times a month. I haven't actually been there this year yet, but it's, oh God, they're gonna hate me because I always go there, but that's probably the best place I've been to. For the life of me, I can't think of it. Like, if I Googled it, I could probably find it for you guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just right out. It's on Durango.
Oh, dude, island flavor.
Yeah, island flavor.
There we go. See,
island flavor.
You don't need Google when you got Lucky right. And food information.
Yeah, brother. Love me some Hawaiian food.
I knew it was Island something, and I didn't want to be like Island Grill, Island Fusion, Island Flay. Like, but yeah, that's like I've been there so many times. Like, last year I probably, like I said, probably two or three times a month at least. So,
oh yeah, epic.
Is it at that point? Would you consider that comfort food then?
I think so. Cause, I mean, it tastes just like how I remember like places in Hawaii.
Right.
Like I'm not a big fan of the L&L thing.
Right.
I'm more, yeah. So if I can go to like mom and pop places that are islandery, I kind of do that just because it's not as duplicated. It's right. More like they got their own twist on things. And
if it's mom and pop, it's usually some sort of family type recipes. So you definitely get a different, you know, taste than a corporate menu. And
oh yeah, definitely.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, even when I lived in Hawaii and when I moved back there after college, and then like I barely ate over at the L&L. I always just went to a different, like a mom and pop joint or something.
Right.
Usually, always a little bit tastier.
So, when you were in college, what were you studying?
Well, I double majored just because I had a lot of free time because I spent 5 years there.
Okay.
I didn't want to leave after four.
Yeah.
So I had I have an exercise science degree and a small business management degree.
See, now that's important, because if you're listening and you have any expectations of getting into pro wrestling, make sure you educate yourself as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Dude, I'll tell you, Cobb, you know, you probably have seen, you know, Matt Riddle just kind of blow up here recently, right? You got to have some funny stories of, like, on the road with him that you could share with us. Just one.
Oh, man. You put me on the spot like that? Man, I got to think that. There's been multiple. There's been a bunch, so I got to think now. You know what? Let me think about it.
Yeah.
Conversating, and when it pops up, I'm just going to blurt it out.
That's totally fine. That's the beauty of recording this, is that we can totally make edits, so it's all good.
Now, well, you had a tryout with the Performance Center a few years back. How'd that go?
I think it went good. They pulled, I think, like 8 of us to the side and had us do like little interviews, and then we did like a photo shoot. And then I think they ended up signing 6 out of the 8, and I happened to be one of the 8 that didn't get signed. So,
dude, yeah, fun times. You totally, you know what? It was a blessing in disguise, because you went on to really, I mean, do some great things. You know, so you.
Yeah, I mean, I think at the time, I don't think you know, I didn't really have a name on the indies or anything like that.
Right.
So, I mean, they probably would have signed me for the bare minimum, and I probably would have been hating life living in Florida. And
yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, you never know where that path would have taken me down, but, I mean, looking back, I'm happy they didn't pick me. So,
yeah.
Do you feel that you would have been ready at that point? Or do you think that, you know, given now the experience and the maturity of, you know, having a few years of growing just as a person, that if an opportunity came about, it would be, you know, kind of a little different situation for you?
Oh, definitely. I think if they would have signed me, I think I would have had to report, like, I think it was like January of 2015 is when that recruiting class got reported. I think I would have been released in like 2 years.
Wow.
I was a nobody. I honestly didn't know who I was as a wrestler. And then I think, yeah, just, I don't think I was ready. Like I looking back, I wouldn't have hired me.
Yeah. Yeah. Is there anyone from that class that, went on to, you know, have a name?
Yeah. So the 6 that got hired, one of them was a referee, and he's on NXT a lot now, Tom Caster.
Okay.
Yeah. Rich Swann was in my class, or in my tryout.
In that tryout.
Oh gosh. Montez Ford.
Oh wow.
Was in my class. No Way Jose.
Right. Yeah.
And then just the one or two other guys, like, I don't think they really did much after that, but I don't see them. I haven't seen them or heard of them since, so I don't know.
You still keep in touch with any of those guys?
Tom Caster, I keep in contact with just because we were both from the Bay Area. I guess I moved to the Bay Area, so I worked with him a lot before he got signed. still keep in contact with like Rich Swann, Montez Ford. Every so often, he stole one of my shirts. So I still give him grief about that. I have a photo of us eating at a Golden Corral, and he's wearing my shirt.
Oh, that's awesome. He's got a tremendous upside, I'll tell you.
Oh, he's great. I think he's good. I mean, he's very coachable. He's very athletic as shit. So.
And he now owns a Jeff Cobb shirt.
And I enjoyed his tag team. No, he has a shirt, a Guam shirt.
Oh, really?
So, like, yeah, so he's wearing a Guam shirt. Like, he didn't know what Guam was before he met me.
That's funny.
Oh, man. And speaking, I might as well, it's a better time than ever. Speaking of T-shirts, if fans don't know, where can they get some of your merch?
Well, pretty much all my shirts are on Pro Wrestling Tees. ProWrestlingTees.com, I guess, is, you know, just, I don't even know how to do that, like, what the link is, but it's just pretty much to go to Pro Wrestling Tees and type in Jeff Cobb.
Yeah.
And I'll pop up. If you do like the search for everybody, I think I'm in between Jeff Jarrett and Jeff Hardy. Or no, I'm before Jeff Hardy and Jeff Jarrett. So
right, right there. Yeah, because yeah, they have them alphabetically. You're right.
I'm there somewhere.
And I definitely will suggest if you're listening to this and you want a cool Jeff Cobb shirt, the Hawaiian Punch shirt is the one that I got.
Oh yeah, that shirt's awesome.
That's awesome, man. Mm-hmm. I love that shirt. And I don't. And the funny thing is I typically don't. You know, I try not to buy too many wrestling shirts, and you know that's how much of you know respect that I've had for you know your work and seeing you over the years. So, what is it that if you're, you know, you're doing a long road trip, you get back here to Vegas, what is it that you like to do when you get back and settle in?
Well, usually I just take a day to kind of just unwind, usually laundry.
and wash dishes.
And,
then,
and wash dishes, apparently. But no, like usually just unwind, just relax. I spend a lot of money on a nice couch, so I like laying on it,
nice.
Sitting on it, so I'm happy with that. You know, try to spend time with my dogs and my girl, and, you know, just do the normal thing, like dog park, you know, try to get some, like, dinner or something, but, and then just getting back into a little routine.
Besides collecting belts, is there anything else that you're into collectible-wise?
When I was a kid, I also I was a huge Marvel guy.
Nice.
Dude, have you seen Captain Marvel?
I have. We actually watched it last night.
Pretty awesome, right?
Yeah, it was good. I like the fact that Marvel makes me care about not just Spider-Man and Wolverine.
Right.
But like the more quote unquote unknown characters like Ant-Man or Captain Marvel and stuff like that. You know, I was like, I never cared about Ant-Man prior to Marvel movies. But, you know, like, that movie was highly entertaining, and I enjoyed it so much. And I was like, yeah, it's pretty cool.
And it's the start of everything. When you watch that movie, like, I don't want to give too much away.
Yeah, please don't.
But it's like the start of everything. And so, I mean, as a fan of Marvel, and I'm a huge fan like you, I mean, it was just awesome to see kind of like the origins of where, you know, even though they took it back, where everything began.
Yeah, it was a good movie. It definitely ties a lot of the other movies together. So I'm excited for Endgame when it comes out.
Oh, dude, yeah. Endgame is going to be amazing.
So were you into the comic books as a kid, or were you into the action figures?
Well, the action figures were a little bit more pricey.
Right.
Because I collected comic books, and then I also collected, they used to have Marvel trading cards back then.
Yep.
So I used to collect everything Marvel, like anything that came out, I was buying them and collecting them and whatnot. Then when we moved, it got lost. Like, we stayed at, like, we're staying at, like, friends' houses and whatnot, and they kind of stole it. They stole my stuff.
Mm-hmm. So, oh, man.
That's about right. So,
like, great comics. My Marvel cards, all of them, they were all gone. So it kind of sucked. But I, when I moved to Guam, I restarted collecting some things, but like some of the older stuff I haven't been able to find, like haven't been able to find in Guam. But now, you know, like, pretty much, you know, thank goodness for the internet and whatnot. So I've been able to track down a couple like unopened boxes of cards.
Nice.
So I've been buying a couple of sets here and there, or buying a box or two here or there, different like sets and whatnot, and just trying to collect them back again. So like those kind of things, make, you know, they're fun.
Oh yeah.
So, not so much the comics anymore, just because it's a little bit harder.
Right.
Because I was away from them so long that like I'm just so lost in comics, so I'm kind of like, I'm not gonna open up that wormhole.
So let me ask you, Kyle, who's your favorite superhero of all time? Like, you love Marvel, but who's your favorite superhero, whether it be Marvel or DC?
I guess I don't really have a favorite per se. I just kind of like who I like. I kind of like weird, obscure, like obscure characters. Like, there's a bunch of guys that were, like, they debuted on, like in Spider-Man or something. And yeah. I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. And I would just kind of follow them a little bit. So, I mean, I didn't really have a favorite. I kind of just, like, whoever I liked, I liked. And if I didn't like them, I just didn't buy their comics.
Yeah, it was like, for me, Guardians was such a surprise because of the fact that when that movie came out, I went into it with low expectations. You know, I'd heard about them a little bit. But when I went in and I watched the movie, I was blown away. They did a good job producing and making me love those characters, because that's not your traditional Iron Man or Thor or Batman or whatever for that example.
Yeah, it's weird because like I like the movie was great. I thought the movies were really good, but I mean it was like a different team than what was that in the comic book. So
yeah,
but, I mean whatever, you know.
Well, yeah, I mean,
it was good either way, yeah, so I'm not going to complain.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes, you know, when they adapt the stuff, it comes out, you know, a little different, but in the same time, you know, we know that, you know, they're in charge of creating their own universe, and, you know, I think that a lot of times fan backlash happens because of that. You don't see the same thing, but you see the same thing in movies with, you know, that have been... like a Stephen King novel, someone will say, oh, the book was way better than this. You know, and it's...
Right.
Yeah.
They're like, well, that character wasn't there, or that was like, who cares, just enjoy it. Like, I mean, for me, I was just like, oh, wait, that's not the original cast, like, the original members.
Right,
and then that was pretty much the end of my complaining.
You, like you said, you've been buying, you know, cards off the internet and all that good stuff that, you know, we as... you know, guys like to collect. What does the girl think of it? does she give you shit for, you know, buying, you know, cause I know I still get shit for anytime I come home with like a box of cards or some new action figure. It's like, you know, why are you spending your money on that crap?
No, and she's super supportive of my, I mean, I don't gamble or anything like that, or I don't spend thousands on a crazy car or something like that. So, all my stuff's just small right. things that kind of remind me of my childhood.
Right, and that's important too, because you know the fact of the matter is that I think a lot of times we tend to let go of that kind of stuff, and in reality, I think that can keep you a little more happier because you're. Kind of not even recreating, but you're connecting to a memory that you have. And I think that's one of the reasons that things like pro wrestling are, you know, so important to the fan base, is we don't want to let that, you know, 10-year-old kid go.
Yeah. I mean, shoot. I mean, if it makes you happy, then do it. You know, who cares?
Yeah. That's...
All my comic books, they make me happy, you know, or all my comic cards and whatever. I mean, those, you know, if you're happy, you're happy. Who cares?
Yeah.
It's your life. Be happy.
So what makes you the happiest nowadays?
Just everything that I have. You know, I'm very appreciative of all the success that I've had and, you know, striving to do better than the last year. So those kind of things make me happy because it gives me a purpose, you know.
And overall, where do you see yourself if you, you know, if you get a chance to 10 years from now, look back and listen to this interview, where do you see yourself in like 10 years in terms of, you know, just life in general?
Hopefully 10 years, I won't be wrestling anymore. I just want to be able to support, you know, my family and whatnot in this crazy thing that we do. And, you know, like, I just want to be like financially stable. I don't want to have to be worried about stuff like that. And then when I'm done with wrestling, then I'll go do something else. And, you know, I don't plan to wrestle in my late 40s or 50s or 60s or 70s, like, you know. But, you know, again, I say that now, but
right.
it's like the weirdest addiction ever, you know. Like last year, I kind of like minimum of two shows a week, you know, like two, three, four shows a weekend. And then I was like, man, I wish I had some free time. And then when I got some free time, I'm like, man, I'm bored. So it's like a weird, it's a vicious cycle, I think. So, but I mean, hopefully in a couple of years, I'll be not crazy wrestling, but, you know, just being happy with what I do and not worried about things, just enjoying the ride.
Do you think if you, when you wind down, do you think that you would then like maybe apply your business degree and start something on like that avenue? Have you thought about planning any kind of, you know, business since you're, you know, smart on how things are run?
I don't know. I mean, definitely I'd look at an option outside of wrestling first.
Right.
You know, when I'm, like, again, this is just me talking now, and it could totally change in 10 years. But, like, when I've done wrestling, I want to be done wrestling. I don't want to,
right.
Yeah. I don't want to be sticking around, hanging around, going to shows or whatever. Like, I just want to be done, just kind of ride off into the sunset and just be retired, I guess. But, I mean, I don't know. Like, definitely... I don't know. Like, I would love to, like, buy a few houses and then live off of that, live off of the income off of that, off the residual income of those, and then not have to have a care in the world.
That's not a bad idea, man. start investing into the land and the property now, and then you'll be set when you decide to retire, man.
That's a good point. Yeah, Digging my nose in a few things around here in Vegas. So.
Good time to get in, man. Good time to get in.
I'm actually going to be in Hawaii in about 4 or 5 weeks. And I want to, maybe you could recommend a place while I'm out there. Going to be in Oahu. And I want to go ahead and use your name. And they're going to give me a free meal. What's the name of that place I need to go?
Oh, geez.
I'm just going to say, hey, I know Jeff Cobb. And they're going to be like, oh, my God, here, you get it whatever you want. What's that place name?
Well, if you name drop me, you're going to have to pay double. honestly, shoot, I don't know. If you name drop me at a couple bars, that could benefit you there instead of a restaurant.
No problem. Well, look, man, we thank you for spending some time with us tonight, and we want to remind everyone to watch, no matter if it's through pay-per-view or to attend the show if you live in Vegas. It's going to be at Sam's Town, ROH 17th anniversary pay-per-view, and it's going to be you versus Shane Taylor. for the ROH World Television Championship. And who's going to win that again, Jeff?
Me.
That's right. I was hoping you was going to say that. So again, thank you so much, man, for coming on our podcast tonight.
My pleasure, man. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Appreciate it. Right,
thanks for letting me be late by washing the dishes.
Oh, man.